Amen. Well, we are going to be, go ahead and turn over to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to just take a little bit of a detour from what we've been looking at in Ezra and just praying about tonight. And Lord kind of led me to deal with a topic tonight. And I kind of want to turn at some point here Sunday nights into topics for a little while. And so if you have a topic that you'd like to hear preached on, brought forth, just let me know. And then we'll try to just let that topic be maybe a focus of one of our Sunday nights. Amen. Now, once we get into the tent meetings, of course, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights will be at the tent. That's only going to last 3 weeks, but it is what it is. But it's right up the road, so it's not real far for us to go to. Amen. So we're probably one of the closer churches for sure to that. And I'm excited about that. I'm just excited. I see just a lot of opportunity there. So much is kind of focusing on Wanamaker right now. And it's just right in our backyard, amen. And I'd like to see some people get saved from Wanamaker come to church, amen. Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Matter of fact, our bus route, we're going to get started. Looks like our first pickups at this point are going to be in Wanamaker, amen. So just really a blessing. We've been in and through Wanamaker before and had great opportunities there. And just praying for God's direction there as well. Matter of fact, I look at a bus on either tomorrow or Tuesday, potentially picking up a bus, kind of replacing ours. We'll see how the Lord leads. But say, what's wrong with ours? Well, if you ever rode to a rally in that, it doesn't have any air suspension or anything like that. See, it's all springs. So the kids love it because you bounce around a lot. But the adults, amen. Especially at times we've had pregnant women, and that's really rough, amen. We don't want to send anybody into premature labor, amen. But anyway, we'll just see where it all leads. Patricia works over there at I guess it'd be Warren. Warren Township. Been talking to them. They got a couple buses. They're retiring. And so we'll just see. School districts can only run buses so long. I think it's 15 years. They have to get rid of them. And so we can run them a little bit longer, amen. And so we don't quite use them much like they do. Anyway, you can pray for that. But either way, what we have out there is fine as far as running a bus route local. But just praying over that. But just praying over the topic for tonight. And Lord led me to deal with the topic of anger. Amen. Anger. And so, yeah, earlier in Sunday school, kind of challenged everyone to have a purpose. Amen. Know your purpose. Have a purpose. Overall in your Christian life, know your purpose that God has you for. And then Sunday morning, make sure you put some barriers in your life to things that you shouldn't be touching. Amen. And what you should be touching like the Lord, remove those barriers. Amen. And tonight we'll look at anger. You could, if whether you or someone you know, do you know anybody, to include yourself, you don't have to tell on yourself and all that, but do you know anybody that's ever had an anger problem? Anybody? Yeah, a few of us? A couple of you didn't raise your hand. So if you've never experienced anybody with an anger problem, go ahead and raise your hand. Never experienced. Oh, that's different. Yeah, so nobody raised their hand there. So I would say then we've all experienced somebody with an anger problem, whether ourselves or somebody else. And was that a pleasurable experience when you're dealing with somebody with an anger problem? Not at all. You don't come away from that thinking, man, that was wonderful. That was absolutely amazing. No, it's even worse when it's yourself and you don't know what to do about it. Amen. And so just going to look at a few verses tonight and try to give a little help in this area. And got a couple different studies on this. One is Terry Coomer. I don't know if you know him. He was a pastor. Matter of fact, he pastored up in Indiana for a time. And then I think it was done I think it was in Arkansas then. And now he's just in evangelism and does a lot with counseling. But some of the things he said are very, very, very good. He actually says this. He says, many Christians are operating in their life daily under the impression that they are in fellowship with God, when in reality, they are running their life in sinful anger out of fellowship with God. That's an interesting statement. Amen? I'll read his statement again. Many Christians are operating in their life daily under the impression they are in fellowship with God, and in reality, they are running their life in sinful anger out of fellowship with God. It's interesting.
1 John 1, 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. I dealt with that topic of fellowship, and that, remember, fellowship is a noun. It's what we're in if we're born again. We're like-minded. We have a fellowship in Christ, but at times we seem to be out of fellowship, right, with some. And especially if you've known someone to have an anger issue, you will definitely seemingly be out of fellowship with them. There seems to be a wall, a barrier that exists there. That anger is pretty serious, amen. And I grew up in a home. My father was a very angry man. I was raised to be that way. I was scared to death. I never wanted to be married because I didn't want to follow in the footsteps of my father and treat my wife like he treated my mom. And so that's how I kind of grew up. Never thought I'd be married. And after coming to church, meeting Dana, everything changed from that perspective. But God had to deal with me on this issue of anger a long time ago. And it's not that I never, ever deal with it at all, but it's totally, you can deal with it in the Word of God. There's victory over that. And there's some keys on how and why that is. And I think in some estimation of the thought of anger that everybody has an issue with it, just like pride. If someone says, I've never had an issue with pride a day in my life, well, they're lying to you. And they just don't understand what pride is, amen? And I would say the same thing is probably true of anger. Now, he calls it ungodly anger because, in a sense, we find that Jesus actually at times there was a couple times there where he would be angry and he would act upon that. So anger in and of itself potentially is usable. But as S.M. Davis puts it, that the only one that knows how to rightly use anger is God. Amen. And it's because it is so volatile. Now, can it be used? Yes. Is there a right time? Yes. But it's very, very seldom. Amen. Just like adrenaline. Adrenaline is great that God has given us this ability to have almost supernatural strength whenever we need it. But do you know if you live with a lot of stress and that adrenaline's flowing and all that, it becomes destructive to you, right? Those things are released within you, and you're not meant to operate that way. You're not meant to actually operate on adrenaline 24/7 or even a couple hours a day. We just don't experience things that often in our lives where we would need that. And so, again, anger is very effective, and that's the problem. Anger is very effective in reference to controlling things or perceive, in a sense, it seems like it's effective. It's effective. It seems like it's useful. But usually anger does more destruction than it does help. And so whenever we pull that tool out, look over at Galatians chapter 6. Now, he says, ungodly anger is deceptive, and many Christians are deceived by it. So we're going to take those couple of thoughts and just go into a bunch of scripture. And so, again, he says, ungodly anger is deceptive, and many Christians are deceived by it. Matter of fact, if you try to talk to someone about their anger problem, they're probably going to get angry with you. Right? And they're going to try to coddle that thing and justify that thing. Amen? And so has God commanded us to be angry? Well, in one sense, right? Be angry and sin not. But that is not a command to be angry. That's more dealing with the fact that when we are angry, we are not to sin in that anger, right? And that's really the thought of that passage. He's not saying, you just need to be angry more. No, he's not saying that, amen? It's when anger does come up, we better not let that sun go down upon it, and we better make sure we're not sinning in it, amen? You as an adult, do you feel like you're stronger than maybe a 2 or 3 year old? Do you think? Okay. So you have an advantage on that little child based on your strength, right? Okay. Well, anger is similar, right? If you as an adult want to manhandle a child, you can, right? But you're not going to help your relationship with them. You're not going to help them. Would there be a time where you could pull out your excessive strength there and be a help to them? Absolutely. Anger is the same way. By the way, a lot of times, who do we get angry at? Those that we're closest to, right? But let me remind you that the reality of anger is anger destroys things, right? Is there a time for some things to be destroyed? Yes, but after destruction, something needs rebuild, and we don't want to just go destroying everything, amen, all the time. And so anger is an issue, amen. And so in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so that principle here of the sowing and then reaping principle. If we're constantly sowing anger into relationships, then ultimately we can plan to reap that in return, right? And we see it especially with children. Do you ever know of a family to where the children are just angry all the time, right? Well, you have to be careful there because there most possibly is potentially an anger issue in the home, amen? Not all the time, but a lot of times they're learning that from somewhere, amen? And there can be other reasons too, right? Anger could either be a root sin or a fruit sin, right? And what I mean by that is that when you look at a tree, that root is very important to the tree, right? And based on the root, so will the tree be, right? So a lot of times if you get a tree or a plant, whatever, you're kind of planting mainly the root, and then we know it's going to grow that tree, and ultimately that tree is going to follow the course of the root. And as that root is healthy, that tree potentially will be healthy as well. But a fruit sin means that it's just something that hangs off the tree. That tree potentially didn't start that way. Although an apple tree is an apple tree and all that. But the point is that a root sin, like the root of bitterness, right? We want to beware lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. So bitterness is a root sin. And a lot of other sins hang off the tree of bitterness, right? Well, anger, if you really deal with that with people, sometimes people are just angry and they really can't put their finger on why they're angry, right? And other times they're angry because, well, this person hurt me, and it kind of spawned from that event, right? So if it spawned from that event, if you deal with the issue, then the anger's dealt with. But if it's not a fruit sin and it's a root sin, then ultimately at your root, at your core, even with me being raised by a father who was angry, I had to deal with my anger more like a root issue, right? Because it's just who I was. It was like how I was brought up, amen, was just to be angry. It wasn't any particular thing I was mad at. It's just who I was, right? So that would be more of a root sin, but it's still a sin, right? And so very interesting. So we reap what we sow. So if we want to reap anger, then we should be angry with everybody. But if we don't like reaping anger, then we need to look back and say, well, then what should I be sowing? Maybe try sowing forgiveness and gentleness and kindness, right? Love. Sow those things, and then you will begin to reap the same. But if you sow anger, don't be mad whenever you get that in return. And that goes with discipline, too. As a parent, you're given some tools to take care of your children, but we have to be careful that we... it's not right for me to discipline in anger. And I don't believe it's right for any parent to discipline in anger. And if that means that when your little ones make you mad, that you both put yourselves in time out for a minute to regain composure, I'm serious, you better do that. You don't want to pick up that rod and use that rod in anger. Amen. Because the purpose of discipline is not to destroy the child. Remember, anger destroys things. That's what it does. It deals with things and it brings things down to a destructive level. And so if you don't want to destroy your children, don't discipline in anger. Amen? You should discipline in love. You should discipline because you care about them. You should discipline them because you're trying to help them. It's the rod of correction. And that's the purpose of it. Amen. So, all right. So, anyway, and if you have questions as we go through here, we'll give a little time there. Maybe that would be good. Amen. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Just laying some foundation here. Then we'll look at a bunch of verses that deal with the topic of anger. And if you're a young person and you have an angry father or someone angry even above that, I guarantee you it's affected you, and you probably are likely to pick up those characteristics and those devices, and you will be prone to use those. Amen. So we want to be very careful in this area. Amen. And so 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He's a devourer. He's a destroyer, right? And so it makes sense that if there is a tool out there that he can encourage us to use that destroys things, he would definitely be in that business. Is that right? So he's going to try to convince us that anger is okay for us to operate in. Amen? And so we'll look at some things to show that that's just not the case, but just kind of keep that in mind. Amen? Proverbs 29 and verse number 22. We'll be in Proverbs just a little bit. Proverbs 29 and verse number 22. "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." So an angry man stirreth up strife. And so with that anger is, when you think about anger, what it's all about, anger is about, in a sense, overcoming something else, right? Like you take in that anger, you press upon something else to cause that either to cease to operate or to submit or whatever. It's a dominating thing. Anger, you come out with anger to deal with a situation or an individual. So an angry man stirreth up strife, stirs up contest, stirs up friction. That's what anger does. It perceives things as an offense to them, right? And so if something's coming at them, what do? You respond with a heavier hand, right, to deal with the issue. An angry man stirreth up strife. And so angry people oftentimes will find issue with things that it's like, why is that an issue right now? It's not a big deal. You know what I mean? Who cares if this person likes this or likes that and you don't? It doesn't matter. Who cares if this person thinks this is reality? It doesn't matter if you think. It doesn't matter. A lot of things just don't matter. Amen. At the end of the day, if you correct them, did it help anything? No. Amen. So we don't need to stir up strife over petty things. Remember, love covers the multitude of sins, the things being acted against. So if you love somebody, you can overlook a lot of things. Amen. But if you're an angry person, you really struggle overlooking things. Amen. You want those things dealt with, and you want them to be brought into the way that you see it, and you want to help make that happen. So an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. And so anger is very destructive, as we see in this text. In Proverbs 16, and in verse number 18, Proverbs 16, verse number 18, says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." So we know that anger stirs up strife. It abounds in transgression. It leads towards destruction. We'll see. But pride also does the same thing. So pride goeth before destruction. So before that destruction really takes root, you find a person who's proud, and they will run something into the ground and destroy things in the process, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So proud, we're being prideful, haughty, anger, all those are going to run together. Proverbs 18:19, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." You don't typically find humility and anger really operating together. In Proverbs 13:10, it says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Remember, we as Christians are peacemakers. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We as Christians specialize in solving problems. We are not here to create problems. Amen. We are here to solve problems. Amen. And so how we solve problems is by the Word of God. We administer the Word of God. Sometimes people get angry at us for trying to administer the Word of God, right? And when that happens, we have to choose. Do we go toe-to-toe with them and get into an argument? Do we go toe-to-toe there and get into a debate? Do we start, yelling at each other and screaming to try to get our point across? Or do we take a step back and realize, my point My whole purpose here is not to win an argument. My whole purpose here is not to make that person know they're wrong or force this on anybody. My whole purpose is to help them. Amen. And so going toe-to-toe and wrestling with them and going, you know, duking it out, that's not going to help them, because we don't help people by that way. We don't win people by winning an argument, right? We don't help people. So in this context, before honor is humility, only by pride cometh contention. We see these things, and so we understand that. I realize that I could win a battle and lose the war with somebody. I could win an argument and lose a person, lose a friend. And so just realizing these things, sticking with the Word of God. Now, sometimes people just don't like the Scriptures, and they make that choice to still get upset and still blame you and still you know, throw all of that on your wagon. That's fine. Amen. You can pray for them, and they may choose to separate over that, but it can't be because I got angry over that thing and made it an issue, if that makes sense. Amen. And so we stick with the Word of God, and we promote the Scriptures, not with an angry spirit, but with a spirit of meekness. Amen. And by the way, sometimes it's misread from us. Sometimes people will maybe think that we're arrogant or proud just because we're confident in the Scriptures. Amen. But that's not a proper label for that. Amen. My unwillingness to bend on the Scriptures, and by the way, that doesn't mean that I'm unwilling to bend for someone else's life. Listen, the Bible says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Some people just have to go through some hard times, and it's okay. I'm not put out by it. Amen. And if so, if somebody doesn't choose to accept your counsel, if someone doesn't choose to listen to the preaching or listen to some advice or whatever, it's on them. Now that might affect what they can do in the church, right? Because that's just the way it goes. But that's not something we get upset about. Amen. Because some people have to go the hard route for a while so they can learn some things and then make a full circle back. Amen. And so we see some things here. Amen. In Proverbs 21:24, proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Amen. Proud and haughty scorner. Now, I will just say as a side note, I've studied the topic of being a scorner, and there is not much help for a scorner, because anybody that tries to help a scorner ends up being in their crosshairs, and now they're gonna deal with you because you called them angry, you called them proud, you called them, and maybe you did or didn't, but they perceive that, and now they're gonna tear you to shreds. And so I have found the only way a scorner, before you think, I'm going to help that scorner out, before you think that, amen, you better understand that if you try, amen, you will get yourself a blight. And if that's what God calls you to do, you go for it, amen. But know this, you probably will be affected in the process, amen. And so the only way I have found a scorner to get help is when it happens by accident, amen, where they overhear something. It's not directly to them. It's just in the background. And God's able to speak to them that way. But direct with a scorner, scripturally, you can study it out yourself. Let me know what you find. But direct for a scorner, I don't see them getting much help. Now, destruction from anger can take place in our lives, in the lives of our family, in our ministry, in our children, those around us. It's very prevalent, destruction from anger. And all of us know of situations, maybe we have been affected ourselves, where there has been destruction caused by anger. And we need not protect that. We don't need to protect those things. We don't need to act like it wasn't a big deal. It is a big deal. Amen? And we just need to recognize that. Now, the essence of the Christian life is to be controlled by the Spirit of God, not controlled by the spirit of anger. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Turn over to Philippians 4. There is a spirit of anger that we want to make sure that we do not have. Amen. And if you know someone with that spirit of anger, you really need to pray for that person and look for ways to potentially help. Come alongside them and be a blessing to help them escape anger. Amen. Anger, we don't win souls through anger. Amen. We don't repair relationships through anger. You know, we can get all mad at somebody and shake them around and say, I just love you. That's why I'm beating you up right now. I just love you so much. That just doesn't come across. I mean, that just doesn't work. Amen. I bloodied your nose because I love you so much. Abusive husbands try to tell their wives that, right? They're ones they're beaten. I only black and blued your eye and all that because I love you. Whatever. You're deceived, buddy. That's not how it works. Amen. And so we just have to get real with this thing and think through it and realize that's not a tool that's a tool of love. It's not. Amen. Anger is not a tool of love along those lines. Amen. So Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. That word moderation means that's dealing with self-control. I'm moderate. I'm not overbearing. I'm not excessive in this way. I'm not manipulative. I'm moderated by the Spirit of God. There's a spirit control here. Let this be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And I hope that's the case in our lives, is that the Lord is at hand. I don't have to go crazy on things because I trust God, right? My faith is in Him, amen? And who does vengeance belong to? It belongs to God, amen? And so we let Him control these things, handle these things. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. That word careful there is referring to being like anxious in a sense, be stressed out, if you will. Be careful for nothing. We don't have to overly care, if you will. Don't care excessively about things. It's going to be okay. If you're a believer, if you're born again Christian, you have a Father in heaven that loves you, and there's nothing on earth outside of His knowledge and care. Amen? And so things might happen in our life that seem really bad, but God knows. He understands, and we trust Him. So I don't have to overreact to things. I could take a minute and think through it. I don't have to jump too quickly. Amen. And so it says, be careful for nothing. Say, but you don't understand, my finances are a mess. They may be, but it's going to be okay. You understand, I'm fixing to lose my job. That may be the case. And it might not even be your fault, but it's going to work out. It's going to be okay. If you're a believer, I trust God for these things. Does that make sense? Do you understand what that person said to me? We don't even know why they said it. We don't even know what they meant by it. We don't know all those. I don't know. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, does it? Let's not overreact because of something like that. Let's not be poked and prodded into something because of somebody else. Let's not be reactionary like that. Amen? Why? Because we trust that God's involved. We can trust Him as a believer. Amen? Now, if you're an unbeliever, then this doesn't, I mean, you might, all you have to do is try to control the thing because God's not there working alongside and helping and bringing you to that place of where you'll be like with Christ. That's just not the case. But for a believer, we don't have to get angry. Amen? Because we trust the Lord and He'll help us. Amen? He'll take care of these things. And so, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Everything. No matter what's going on, we can reach out to God in prayer and supplication. We're praying for others. In this situation, who? Probably the one that is the object of your issue. Amen? We're praying for them with thanksgiving. Do you matter who it is in our life? Even those that make our life a little challenging. Do you know there's something there that we could be thankful for in reference to them? And we need to look for that. We need to look for that and ask God to help us spot it. Amen? So that as we pray, we're not just praying with a heart of animus. We're actually thankful for them. Amen? As hard as it is or whatever the situation is. Amen? With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Look at verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God says, don't be stressed out. Don't be careful for nothing. Don't be stressed out. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to take matters in your own hands. You don't have to jump too quickly. You can deal with it this way. And what does God give you in return? Peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. And the situation may still be a wreck. But if you have that peace of God, from God, that trust, knowing that you've prayed, you've asked God, you trust that He will and is involved, you can pillow your head at night, amen, and go to sleep and get a good night's sleep. Even though everything's falling apart, amen. It's okay. You don't have to overreact, amen. Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How does that fit there? Usually we get angry over things that we really don't even know all the details about. We what if things, and we start dreaming up what could be, and then we act like that's reality. And a lot of times after we get angry, then you go back and you start getting the details. It's like, oh, well, I didn't realize that. Oh, that's what was really, and it changes everything. And what this passage is saying is, instead of speculating and thinking on what you don't even know is or isn't, you just think on what you know to be true. You think on things that are honest and true. You think on those things, amen, and not all the realm of possibility. And by the way, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, truly with God there is, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So what he's saying here is, follow my example in this. Follow my example on how to act and respond and deal with things. And it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now the tenor of this passage that we just read is moderation, no anxiety, prayer, supplication, peace of God, humility, not anger. And that's how we deal with things. We are level-headed. We're not gonna run. Listen, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But God has called us to be as bold as a lion based on his truth. Not fierce as a lion, bold as a lion, where I'm willing to stand up in the face of adversity, not in pride, but just knowing that it's like the old picture you see where you're just a little pipsqueak standing there, but like the little kid, you know, but standing behind him is his father, amen. And he's standing there in the strength of his father, amen, because his father's right there with him, amen. But with God, that's how we stand. We stand in the strength of our father, amen, not in pride and arrogance, but in confidence in his ability with a right deportment, amen. In Hebrews 13:15, now as children of God, we don't have to get angry, amen, because God is at hand, amen, and we're not the forceful God has not called us to be that forceful component of these situations. If something needs to be done along those lines, he will make sure that happens. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. See, the object turns from this. As a Christian, the object of this happened needs to turn from this happened to God, I need help. And if we can do that, then the object changes. We're looking to God for help instead of looking to self to deal with problem. And if we'll turn and shift like that, then we're not going to get angry with God. That'd be foolish. He's bigger than us, amen. He's stronger than us. He's smarter than us. He's everything, amen. Now, we are not controlled by the Spirit of God if we are living in daily ungodly anger, amen. We are not being controlled by God's Spirit. Look over at Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. And I'm going to start reading off a bunch of verses. And it's amazing how much the Bible talks on this topic. And this is what, Ephesians 4, verse 31. This is what God says about about some of these things to include anger. He says, let. Now the word let all bitterness. Let is, that says that's something we do. We have to, We have to let go of it, right? It's showing will, that's volition. So anytime the Bible uses that word let in reference to us, it means we have to allow it to happen. Amen? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of it all. Let it all go away. You have to let go of those things. Amen? All of that is not going to help you. These are not things that help you in your Christian walk and in your purpose of reaching the world for Jesus Christ and leading a godly family and being a part of a church to do the will of God. These are not things that are going to help you in it. Amen? Watch this. Here's what we can do. And be ye kind one to another. Now, the word kind is not just about being nice. It is being nice, but it's being useful. The question you have to ask yourself if you really love people is, what can I do to help them? Amen? And if you can start asking yourself that question, I've never once said, they need me to be angry with them. They need me to give them the silent treatment. No? They need me to go flatten all the tires on their car. That's what they need, right? I mean, no. They need me to take a baseball bat to their nice shiny paint. No. No. If you start asking that question, remember, because I want to be helpful. I want to be kind. Kind means useful. So if you start asking that question, you know, that person... Listen, we're not supposed to return evil for evil. That person just hurt my feelings, and they may have. But that doesn't mean that we then return them that favor. No, because that's not going to help them. Matter of fact, it would help them to see a true Christian. That's what would help them. Amen? It would help them to see somebody respond with a Christ-like love. That would really help them. Amen? Now, I'm not saying let everybody walk all over you. There's a time to remove yourself from a situation. But you don't have to remove yourself from a situation while you're yelling at them. Amen? You do not have to get angry with them. You can peacefully say, you know what? This is a bad situation. I don't want to do wrong in it. I don't want you to further do wrong in it. I'm just going to separate for a little time. We'll get back together here in a little bit. We'll talk about it once we've cooled down. That's okay. That's okay. Because that way you're not allowing it to escalate. Amen? To something that is uncontrollable. So be kind one to another. This next word, tenderhearted. How about this one? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgave us, and we're sinners, and we're unlovable. We're unloving, and he still loved us, amen. And he's forgiven us of all our sins. In Colossians 3 and in verse number 8. Colossians 3 and in verse number 8. A sister passage to Ephesians 4 says this, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Get rid of it. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So when you got saved, we put old things are passed away. We put off that old man. And we put on the new in Christ. Christ is that new man. And so I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the deportment of Christ is not that of an angry man that's just going to beat up everything that disagrees with him. That is not the portrait and image of Jesus Christ. So when people operate in anger, they can expect that they're probably going to find themselves in more angry situations because they reap what they sow. And you'll find yourself in situations where you're facing pride and all that, and it's going to be challenging to you. But if you start putting all that off and start operating in a different fashion, actually caring for people, asking that question, what can I do to be a help to them right now? I know they're acting against me, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm nobody. What can I do to be a help to them? Maybe the best thing to do is I just should close my mouth and walk away. That may be the best thing. Amen? But asking that question honestly so that you don't ruin your testimony to ever help them again. Amen? Proverbs 21:24. I'm just going to give you some passages. Proverbs 21:24. Actually, we read this one, but I'll read it again. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. We read Proverbs 31:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Again, we don't accomplish our purpose, God-given purpose in life through wrath. Is there a time when the wrath of God's going to get poured out? Yes. Is that how people are going to be saved? Absolutely not. It will ultimately be like the wrath poured out at the time of Noah, where only eight were saved and the rest were taken and destroyed because they chose not the pathway of salvation. And that will be the wage of sin, of which we're all in line for, unless, of course, we accept that wonderful offer of love from our Heavenly Father, amen, to be born again. And so that will be poured out, but it's not going to be poured out by us. We're not the agents of wrath. That's not what God's given us to do. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Think about that. In Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. And that's one thing about anger. Anger is haste. People that are angry, they're very quick. They jump into it. And by the time they know it, they're so deep into it, they don't feel like they can return, so they stick with it. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Psalm 37, verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. That's what it says. It says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Which means that typically when one would pull out that tool of anger or wrath, it is actually done in an evil format, meaning it's meant to hurt somebody and not to help. Remember a couple weeks ago I preached the message in reference to divorce and showed how all the law is fulfilled by two things, loving God and loving our neighbor. And I said that the only proper divorce would be when if you're going to do it out of love. True love, not just lip service love. Amen? How many people who are contemplating divorce would listen to something like that? Not very many. Because they feel justified in doing wrong to somebody. Right? Well, that's the same thing with anger. The reason people hang on to that is they feel justified in hurting somebody. Want to be careful with that. Amen. We want to be careful with that because the Bible calls us to cease from anger, forsake wrath, and don't, it says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. We want to be very careful that we don't operate in that way. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So the Bible calls us to have rule over our spirit, but with the Spirit of God. Let God rule your spirit. Before the next time you're going to get angry, ask God if that's okay. Say, God, I'm struggling right now. Is it okay if I get angry with this person right now? Just ask God. And see how God directs you. That might slow up a little bit. Don't be hasty here. So right now, God, I really want to jump all over this person. Slow up a little bit. I actually had someone call me. It was a little while ago. And said, Pastor, I'm fixing to whatever. And I was like, calm down. Calm down. We're on the phone. I was like, calm down. I said, let's talk through this right now because you're fixing to do something you're going to regret. Calm down. And let's work through it. Tell me what's going on. I just walked him through it. Walked him through it. By the time we were done, he wasn't angry anymore. But do you know that God can be that call for us? God, I'm really upset right now. God, what should I do? God's going to say, calm down, right? Let's think through this thing. Let's reason through it together, right? Is this what you're thinking to do? Is that going to help? If you haul off and slap that person, is that really going to help, right? If you throw out those slurs you're getting ready to throw out there, those is that going to help? Is that really going to help your relationship? No. Is it going to help anything? No, it's going to create problems, isn't it? Okay, let's not go that route. Okay, what route should we go? Work through it. Be reasonable. Let God have rule there in your spirit. Amen? Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirreth up strife. Amen. As we've read, a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Transgression with people, overstepping your boundaries with people. Do you know, people have boundaries. We should respect those boundaries. But when we get angry, we violate boundaries, right? So we don't want to do that. We don't want to break that trust relationship we have with people, that we respect their boundaries. Amen? That is physically and that's verbally. You know, there's some things you just shouldn't say to certain people, right? We know there's things we shouldn't actively do, but there's also some things we just shouldn't say. So creating those boundaries, not that we're always perfect in that, but we should always be looking to allow those boundaries to exist. In Romans 12, what is the proper way to deal with issues and people who act against us? Proverbs 12 and verse number 19. Just mention something very practically. If you're fixing to get angry, you need to stop and ask God if that's okay. Or if you have an accountability partner or someone you can call, it might be the time right then to call and say, hey, I'm struggling right now. Help me. Amen. Help me work through this. That's fine. But do something, amen, so that you're learning to deal with that in a biblical fashion. Romans 12, verse 19. Here's another way to deal with your anger concerning those who act against us. Romans 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Avenge not. That would be taking matters in your own hands. But rather, give place under wrath. Place is a place. It's a gap. It's a space, if you will. Give space under wrath. What's that mean? You got to remove yourself a little bit. Step back from that, right? Give place under wrath. Vengeance is not yours. Give place under wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, God says. I will repay. We'd all agree, God knows how to deal with things better than we do. Amen? Let God repay, saith the Lord. Here's the problem, though. God just doesn't act fast enough for us. We want swift judgment. Well, unless, of course, it's in reference to us. We want God to give us some space and cut us a break. Man, when somebody's hurt us, we want God to deal with them, and I mean right now. I want to see it. That was Lot. Lot stood, you know, sat outside of Syria, Nineveh there. And he's like, these people don't deserve God forgiveness. They don't deserve it. I know, God, you're just going to forgive them and just let them all get away with it, aren't you, God? And so he sat out there and he's waiting, hoping that they'd mess up so God would just destroy them. And when God didn't, man, he got bitter, didn't he? And that's what happens. Isn't that interesting? Because God would not let Jonah be angry with them, he would not let him give vengeance. He felt God didn't do what he wanted him to do. So then Jonah got bitter with God. That's interesting. A lot of times angry people are prone to bitterness. Get that. Angry people. And by the way, there are a lot of angry people that don't necessarily display anger. They hold their anger in. And it's a dangerous thing, because they only blow up on a certain few people. No one really sees it except a couple people. But they're still an angry person. But they're very prone to bitterness, because they're not understood. And God just, I would let God deal with it, but he just never does on my timeline, right? And so then they get bitter with God. Angry with people, bitter with God, bitter with others. It all kind of goes hand in hand. So proper way to deal with our issues is, we just need to turn the vengeance side over to God. And by the way, who's the best judge in all the universe? It's God. Because God knows every side of everything. He knows who's guilty. He knows who's innocent, right? So, and I know, judicially speaking, in our society and all that, we have to have judges. We have to adjudicate things and all that. But in our own personal lives, we can let go of a lot of things, and we can just turn them over to God and let God deal with that. Amen. And that's what this passage is dealing with. So how do we deal with it? Watch this. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now those are coals of fire of conviction. Watch this. be not overcome of evil, overcome evil with good. And as Christians, that's the tool that God has given to us to deal with most things. We are kind, we're helpful, we're useful, we return good even when someone means evil towards us. We do good, amen, for them. We ask that question. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. Get used to responding softly, not snide or not sarcastically, amen. Softly, just softly. Be careful there. A fool's wrath is presently known, it says in Proverbs 12:16, but a prudent man covereth shame. In Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Amen. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Put it off a little time. Instead of jumping right into it, I've said that earlier, whether it's discipline or whether it's anything, give a little space to that wrath. Amen. Step back from it. Talk to somebody about it. Talk to God about it. Ask God if it's okay. Give it a little space, amen. Pray through that thing before you jump into it and see if at the end of that time that anger still exists. That passage goes on to say, it says, and it is a glory to pass over a transgression. You don't got to deal with everything. Sometimes you just pass over it. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. He will get himself in trouble. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident, not confident in God, confident in self. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, it says in Proverbs 14:17, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Do you want to be hated, I guess is the question. Hopefully not. I don't want people to hate me. Amen. If they do, they do. But I don't want them to. Amen. I actually want to be liked. Amen. I want to be loved. I still need to speak the truth. And some might choose to reject me based on that. But I don't want to be hated because I was mean and hateful and angry towards somebody. Amen. Proverbs 21:19. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. It's not just men that get angry. Women can get angry too. This is an issue we all deal with. Amen. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul, it says in Proverbs 22:24. A scornful man bringeth a city into a snare. It's a trap. Scornful men, they end up being in a snare, trap themselves, they trap others with them. But a wise man turn away from wrath. In Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. We'd all agree that God has been very merciful to our whole creation. Amen. For all the wickedness that he allows, he's very long-suffering. Amen. And we should be true too. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We don't want to provoke them to anger by us being angry. In Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What's that mean? Don't go the wrath route to raise your kids. Nurture them in the truth and in the word. And lead them to that place of admonishment where you can actually talk through things scripturally. Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Proverbs 16:29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Look over very quickly. We'll close with this thought in Galatians 5. I want to show you the works of the flesh very quickly. And you'll see here how the works of the flesh, man, it's all about anger. It's all about anger. But if you look at the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's nothing about anger. Amen? God doesn't have to work that way. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Then it says hatred, variance, which is debate, strife, being quarrelsome, emulation, which is heat and malice, wrath, fierce passion in the area of anger. Strife, which is being one that would have factions and things. Seditions next, disunion, division. Heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling. The works of the flesh is all about anger. We need to put on as the elect of God and not as of the works of the flesh. Now, how do we deal with ungodly anger? This little spot here was written by Terry Coomer. He gave 9 ways to deal with it. It's not throwing scripture. His plan to deal with anger. Number 1, quit justifying your anger. Anger is often the most justified sin of Christians, he says. Number 2, accept personal responsibility for your anger. Number 3, remember that the anger is actually inside of you. Stop fighting the consequences of anger and deal with the actual main component of it, which is you and how you see things and how you deal with things. Number four, confess anger as pride. That's a good one because there's always a proud component to your anger. Number five, deal with any guilt of the past, because that is also potential in leading to anger. Forgive others, he says. Number 6, if you want to have victory over anger, you got to forgive others. Forgive means not give. Don't give people what they deserve. They may deserve something, but give that to God. Let God deal with that. And then number 7 is seek to become meek. Seek to be humbled by the reality that you're nothing. Amen. And that person does have an intrinsic value. And we don't want to encroach on that, lest God get angry with us, amen, in a proper context. Number 8, think of the blessing. Think of the blessing that you'll get if you'll stop being angry. And then number 9, be a spirit-controlled person, not a flesh-controlled person. And I got some other things that I could share, but I think we're out of time, amen. And so anger, just know, it's a huge issue, and we need not justify it. It doesn't help us. As we try to reach others, it doesn't help us raise a godly family. It doesn't help us to communicate the scriptures. It doesn't help us as a Christian. So let's turn all that over to God, give space to that, reason through that thing, and let us not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I know seems like in our day that we live, anger is a huge issue and becoming more and more as people turn from you and turn to sin. But Lord, help us not to become angry over that. Lord, help us not to become offended or bitter over things because things don't go our way or you don't jump into action as quick as we think you should. God, help us, Lord, to give space to wrath. God, that we would be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. And Lord, if we find ourselves in anger, it might be that we need someone to help us work through it from a different perspective, an outside perspective. But God, help us not to be satisfied with being an angry person. We love you and we thank you, God, and we ask, God, that you'd help us to be able to deal with this personally, but then also to maybe counsel others through these issues as well. It's a huge issue. God, bless now this study as it's going forth. Help it to help each of us, I pray, in the right context. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.